Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing you news and other features of interest to the English-speaking Jewish community in Spain and abroad. Our trivia question for this week is, how many synagogues are there in Havana, Cuba? The answer may surprise you. If you've been following the program, you'll remember that last month we spoke with Leopoldo Fornes about the history of the Jewish community in Cuba. This week we're fortunate to have with us Nave and Tamar Bar. They're a young Israeli couple who just spent 3 weeks in Cuba and will tell us about their experiences there. They're doing some really interesting work in Israel too, and will be back next week to talk with us about that. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
What made you choose Cuba for your vacation?
Well, the idea of going to Cuba was, first of all, to listen and dance to Cuban music, and second of all, to see a country of
socialist people.
Yeah. And how it runs, because soon enough.
It will change.
It will probably change after
Fidel Castro will pass away someday in a few years, and everybody says that it won't be the same
after he dies. Yeah. And the third reason was that Tamar is pregnant, and we want a vacation like where we can go to a beach and island in the
Caribbean,
and it's not so expensive as other places.
Yeah, we can afford it.
What parts of Cuba did you visit? Did you only go to the beach?
No.
We
went all of Cuba, from the east to the west.
Yeah.
And we started our trip in Santiago, Cuba. And from there, we went to Baracoa, that there is a like small village. I think it was the first place Columbus came on the beach in Cuba, because there is some great
fortress,
banyo, ports, natural ports.
Yes. Uh-huh. And our trip was mostly seeing the rural areas and not just the big cities and the crowded places. We wanted to get as much of seeing the people's life and the simple people, not the like the more sophisticated, connected to the net and to the big world, but and as much as we can to talk with them.
Where did you stay?
In houses.
In casas particulares.
Private houses.
Private houses. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's...
That's the system. Like, if you're not in a hotel, then you could go to one of those houses.
Private house.
Which is... they are recognized by the government. They need to pay taxes for that. And you stay with the family there and you eat there.
Were you able to communicate with them? Did they speak English or Hebrew or?
No, they speak.
They speak Spanish.
And in the at first, the communication was very weak.
But it was difficult.
Yeah, but.
But then you learn how to communicate. Our Spanish got a little better, and we got to know the people from just staying in the same house for 5 days. And you get to know the whole family and what everybody's doing, and so it was really nice.
Something I was wondering is, you live in a desert. Tell us about your feelings when the hurricane struck, because I know that you were there.
Yeah, wow.
That must have been some experience.
We were really lucky. In the last minute, we decided to go from Santiago that we were to
Trinidad.
A city called... No, at first we thought to go to Trinidad. And then we thought, no, let's change it. And we went to a different city, which called Camagüey.
In the center of the island.
And it's in the center. And we just walked around the city and we said, oh, what a beautiful weather. It's nice. It's not too hot.
It's windy today.
It's windy. And it was really beautiful weather. And we came
to the house.
And the owner of the house says, oh, you know, the hurricane is coming. And we're like, huh? That's why the weather was so good? And later it got a lot more rainy and windy. But it ended, in that place, it ended just in winds and rain, strong rain, but not as terrible as in the eastern part.
They really practice with hurricanes in Cuba. Like in Israel, they practice in bombs in the streets, I suppose. But everybody knows what to do, like the...
They're putting these platters on the windows, and people stayed home, and
cleaning
the trees and the plumbing, sewage. They're cleaning it, and like everything is ready because they didn't know exactly where it's gonna strike. Mm-hmm. It moved along the coast, and
then it got in Trinidad and Cienfuegos, up to Havana, area, and there was like no electricity and water in Trinidad and Cienfuegos
for a week and a half until
we left.
Yeah, maybe it came back, but maybe not. Yeah. And it's big cities, and there is no electricity in Rome.
Yeah, we saw some terrible pictures of destruction on the news. Okay. Tell us something. I know you visited Jewish communities in Cuba. Tell us something about that. Where did you meet Jews in Cuba?
It was just one community, and it was in Camagüey, that city, the day the rain started. We heard from our
host
that there is a Jewish community in Camagüey, which really surprised me because I didn't expect it to be in such a small city. And also
it was like about... I didn't know. So 60 people or 30?
Even less. We went to find a synagogue with hopes that we might find one of the Jewish community also to tell us what's going on. And we were with another couple of Israelis. And we're just walking the streets around where people told us where it's supposed to be, and the neighbors helping us and looking for the manager of the community. And then they called him, and he came to meet us, and he showed us the synagogue, which was just a usual house.
His name is David Levy. Yeah,
David Levy was his name.
Yeah.
And the synagogue was very small, and they had this Daron HaKodesh, and
they just rebuilt it, and
they had a kitchen there, a kosher kitchen, and a place where they can eat and learn together. And he said that the community is very small, around 50 people. And many of the community left to the United States or to Israel. And the other communities in Cuba are in Santiago de Cuba and in Havana, which is the biggest community.
How big is that?
In Havana?
I think.
Maybe a couple of hundreds.
A couple of hundreds.
Uh-huh.
And they have... I don't know. And then it was interesting because we asked if we come in the evening. It was Friday. If you come in the evening to the prayer, can we sit like men and women together? How it's going on? And we said, oh, we're not Orthodox. We have this. And he showed us the Siddur, which was half Spanish, half Hebrew songs. And like, it's not the Orthodox Siddur that we know.
They don't have a rabbi. In
Cuba
at all, no rabbi, and in
just head of just communities and managers of communities.
Mm. How many synagogues are there in Havana?
Three synagogues in
Havana.
Three
synagogues for each
movement, I suppose.
There is the only Orthodox synagogue is in Havana,
uh-huh.
And there is also.
Conservative
and a reform one.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting. For 200 people. It's not bad.
Jewish.
Yeah. Jewish, right. Okay. Do you know if the Jewish community there has any special problems? Like, you said kosher food. I mean, getting kosher food.
That's the main problem of getting kosher food. But most of them, I don't know how much they... Like, I don't think it's like keeping kosher in the most orthodox way. Mm-hmm. But not eating pork and not mixing cheese and meat in the same time.
Yeah, I think the community is getting aged,
like older.
Older.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people left, a lot of Jewish people left Cuba in the recent years.
I guess that many Jewish young people are finding it hard to get married with Jewish people if they want to, and if they find it important at all. So I don't know how long the community will live there.
Have they had any problem from the government as far as freedom of religion goes?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. And also not from the people.
No, and the government helped them to rebuild the synagogue because in another ways they should raise money.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cuba, the government helped to do that. And they rebuilt it just recently.
Cuba is, it's quite interesting. Like the other two major religions are the Christianity,
Afro-Cuban.
The Catholic, and the Afro-Cuban,
uh-huh.
which is called Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these ceremonies and they have their own, I don't know, temples or churches. I don't know what the name, and they do all these voodoo ceremonies and getting possessed with all kinds of spirits and talking, and everybody's wearing white, getting into a trance. That's sort of religion. And so people don't care if you're like that or like that or like that.
Was anybody surprised to meet a couple of Israelis?
In the rural areas, yes, because there is not...
There is not a lot of Israelis going to Cuba, anyway.
If so, to Havana.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew where, like, Israel. Ah, it's far from here.
Yeah.
That was a...
Okay, so it was altogether, it was a really good experience, I guess, huh?
Yes.
It was great experience. Cuba
it wasn't always easy, because it was very difficult to see that we coming from a Western world and to the third world. Like, what we spend for a day is what people get in 2-3 months salary. And it's a huge difference. And they know that, and we know that. And people trying to get money out of you in all kinds of way. Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's not. And there is also a feeling of embarrassment. Like, we're not equal. We're sitting, we're talking, we're laughing, but we're not equal. And to me, it's something that really felt uneasy.
Something else I felt that some of the Cubans are really happy and proud to be Cuban and proud of Fidel Castro and of the communism way, and some of them are really
dying to get out.
Yeah, really hard.
Feeling like we were walking on the seashore in
Havana,
the
Malecón,
and you see all the people sitting there looking at the sea, and Nave said that it feels like, usually you go to the sea and it feels like it's free and it's open, but it's like a prison.
Hmm.
That's the border. It's an island.
It's an island.
And that's their prison. For like
I'm not
people
sure
who
it's prison.
I don't know.
That's a question.
They can't go out of Cuba. They can't, unless they have a really good reason.
Yeah.
So, it's not a free country.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again next week. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Elisette, a Brazilian artist who lives in Israel. This song is from her new CD called Luar e Café. See you next week.